here. Father, thank you for your word. I pray that you would open our hearts, our understanding, ultimately to get to know you better. I pray, Lord, help me to only share what you want, but all of it. Help me to share your heart, how you want me to share it. And I pray that you would just help us to receive it, not from me, but from you. And may it bear fruit that remains, because you said that's what gives you glory. Help us to be doers and not hearers only. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalms 37, verse 1. Do not fret because of evildoers. I'll call your attention to some of these verbs as we go through. It is easy to do that, though, isn't it? Fret. You see stuff on the news, hear what people are doing. Nor be envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good. If we trust him, we do what he says. So trust and do go together. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Then verse 4, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. That's the verse I want to center on. I'll come back to it. Verse 5, commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light. Our righteousness is what he grants us. And your justice as the noonday. And then verse 7, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. So these five, I guess if you want to say action words of do not fret, trust, delight, commit, and rest are all in those first seven verses. Now if you drop down to the end of verse 37, mark the blameless man and observe the upright, for the future of that man or woman is peace. But the transgressors shall be destroyed together. The future of the wicked shall be cut off. That's why I said it's the ways and the ultimate ends. Verse 39, but the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their strength in time of trouble. Thank God. And then verse 40, and the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. Here's the message this morning. Delight yourself in the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord. And I'll tell you what that word means, but I want to show you out of this psalm too that the Lord delights in his people. He delights in those who trust in him and who follow his word and who have received his righteousness. And that blesses me because my view of God for so many years was like almost like a distant and harshness. And, you know, I just failed so many times. He just would be so glad to just... You know, he puts up with me. And I've come to see that that's not the case at all. He delights in his own. And I'll show you. In fact, let's look at that. Verse 23. Verse 23 of Psalm 37 says this. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord and he. That means the Lord. The Lord delights in his way or her way. Think about that. The Lord delights in your way. If you're his or you're trusting him, and you say, well, but I still fall. Join the club. I'm not making light of it. But verse 24 says this, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down or cast aside, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. Haven't you ever maybe walked some time with a little child and you're holding on to their hand and they might stumble along the way? And I know sometimes you may have them grab your finger. But if you're really going along somewhere where you want them to be safe, you probably have their hand. And they may stumble, but you got them. We may stumble, and we do, but God's got us. Thank God he upholds us with his hand. I want you to know that God loves you, and he delights in you. That's what the scripture, in fact, that word for delight there means to desire and have pleasure in. The Lord has pleasure in you, his people. The Lord delights in you. He desires you. And he just wants us to delight in him and desire him to have the same heart back to the Lord that he has for us. I'm sure you've all either heard or seen the phrase, and I want to start it, and you join me if you would, if you know it, okay? Ready? Jesus is the reason for the season, all right? Jesus is the reason for the season. And it's true. Jesus was not just another precious little baby born into the world. Jesus is the eternal and sinless Son of the living God who was miraculously conceived and born of a virgin. He is Emmanuel, God with us. And Jesus came to this world, as Scripture tells us, to reveal God the Father to us in grace and truth. Specifically, he says that grace and truth. He came to suffer and die on a cross to bear the judgment for our sins so that we could be forgiven, we could be set free and redeemed, have a brand new start. And he came to defeat death so that he could bring us to God the Father. That's why he came. Thank God that he came, and he really is the reason for the season. But let's be honest. I've come to realize that I'm just busy right now. You know, we have busy little seasons. I think we have busy lives. I think life is busy, or our culture is busy or something. And that's not all bad, but there can be a barrenness that comes with the busyness. We can get so busy that we neglect the one that the season is ultimately about. And not with bad things. It could be hustle or bustle. We got to shop, get presents for people. We make plans. We have get-togethers. We've got to cook. And that's all fine. There's a place for all of that. But how practically, how can we do all of this and still make Jesus the one the season, not just this season, but every season is about? And I believe it comes back to this: delight yourself in the Lord. So here are three, if you want to write these down, that the background of these is in this psalm of, I believe, steps that we can take that will keep us close to the Lord and keep him a priority, even in the busyness of the seasons that we're in. And I just want to start with a very familiar verse to just ask this, and for maybe someone watching, just as a reminder, why did Jesus experience the hell of separation from God that we deserved? Because that's what he did. He experienced the wrath of God's judgment on our sin. He drank that cup so that we wouldn't have to. But why did he do it? He didn't have to. It was willingly. Why? John 3:16, Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever," thank God, whoever, I'm a whoever, "believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." So if you want to write these down, I'll give you these real quick. Number one, desire. How can we keep Jesus first in this season and every season, really make life about him? And that is desire. And I'll give you a few verses there. I'll give them to you if you want to write them down. We won't turn to them. We just stay right here in Psalms 37. But desire, we're told in the scripture to desire certain, like, spiritual gifts and so forth. Desire the Lord, I'll show you that. So that means we can develop and grow and strengthen godly desires. And I've learned this. If we will develop godly desires to the point that they get strong enough, the godly desires can help us have victory over the sinful desires, because we still have the sinful desires. As long as we're in this body, in this life, we will have to contend with our own tendency to sin. So to develop godly desires, and I know I can tell you just in my own life, as far as some foods that I had never tried when I was a kid, or even trying to make myself drink more water over the years, I've gotten to the point now where that's like the first thing I drink every morning is water. But I developed a desire for it. And so what it's like, if we feed that desire, it can even grow and get stronger. So a desire for the Lord is a good desire. The Bible says this in Psalm 73:25. I'd like to read it to you from the New Living Translation. It says, "Whom have I in heaven but you? I desire you more than anything on earth." So the Lord wants us to desire him. Some of you might be familiar with Gary Wilkerson. His dad's David Wilkerson, who started World Challenge Ministry, wrote The Cross, Switchblade, and so forth, to pastor Times Square Church for years. This is what Gary Wilkerson said. I just read this, I think it was yesterday or maybe Friday. He said, "The longing to be with God begins by understanding God's heart. That's so important. If we come to really realize how much God loves us and wants us, then that makes me want to be with him. So that desire to be with God, God wants us to enjoy him, enjoy being with him, enjoy fellowship with him. He doesn't want us to come to the time like, I gotta pray. I spend time with the Lord. No, no, he doesn't want that. He wants us to enjoy being with him because he's a father who loves his sons and daughters and he wants to be with us. And we get to know God's heart through his word. We get to know his heart through daily fellowship with him. So desire, would you say desire? Desire. So first desire the Lord. And then the second scripture there just says this, 1 Peter 2:2. As newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. So desire the Lord and desire his word. And I love hearing the testimonies of people who, like we heard earlier, they start reading the word and really kind of get into it. And it's like the desire grows. Then you don't want to miss it. And if you feel like you miss it one day, you almost feel like something was missing. And that's great because we need the Bible says that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So if our faith is weak, let's feed it. We got to feed it enough with the truth of God's word so that when the test and the temptation and the trial comes, then I'm not so spiritually weak and anemic that I can't walk in the victory. If we fall, just learn from it. I call it falling forward. Learn from it and grow. And then just trust God more and do whatever it is that will help. So desire, and then the last scripture on that, 1 John 5:14 and 15, the Bible says this. Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Verse 15, and if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. So desire the Lord, desire his word, and desire his will. The word delight in Psalms 37:4, delight yourself in the Lord, comes from a Hebrew word that means to be soft or tender or pliable. So make yourself tenderhearted or pliable before the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. And I thought about, maybe the Lord brought it to my mind, of all things, some of the toys we had when we were children. Some of them are still, they're still using. I bought Play-Doh for the preschool earlier this year. You know why I had to buy, they had some, but you know why I had to buy more? Because if it gets hardened, it's not usable. And if we allow our hearts to get hardened, we're not usable. So I thought about Play-Doh, and then my mind started thinking of other songs. Other toys. I won't stay on this, but how many of you had or you gave your child this toy? A spring. It wasn't called a spring. And I thought, I wonder how a kid today come down and come to the Christmas tree and open and there's a spring. Would you even know what to do? Slinky, slinky, for fun, it's a wonderful toy. How many of you remember this? I did not know this was even. Silly putty. Thank you. So we're going to have a little live demonstration right now and see if this still works. Oh. The brother is still playing with his son. Hey, that's all right. I'm getting ready to play with him myself. Ooh, this doesn't feel very pliable. I think it's about 10 degrees. All right. I thought it was actually a lighter color. I thought it was like a light gray. Let me get this. Can y'all see that? Okay, it's got to get warm. What's that? Oh, my goodness. So it is pliable, So if we have our hearts pliable and tender to delight in the Lord, here we go. Let's see if Beetle Bailey is going to respond. And for those of you who have no idea what Silly Putty is, and used to be able to, and we'll find out in a minute, you could put this on like the, I remember doing the Sunday comics because they were in color. The more serious side of the news, Family Circle and Marmaduke and some of them. Well, so if delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you, he will shape and imprint his desires in our heart, and then he gives us the desires of our heart because our heart aligns with his will. And if we pray or desire anything according to his will, we know he hears us. And a little bit. Hey, all right. Anybody want some nostalgia for desire? Desire. New stocking stuffers. Number two, dedication. So desire and dedication. How can we keep Jesus first place in the busyness of life? Whether it's this season or not, it doesn't matter. If we desire, if we really desire him, his word, his will, if we desire him strong enough, then we can dedicate ourselves to him and to his will. That's what it means to dedicate, is to commit. Let me read you this scripture from Psalm, again, 37, verse 5. If you look at it, it says, commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Who greater to dedicate ourselves to than the one who loved us and gave himself for us? What greater cause to dedicate ourselves to than the good news of Jesus Christ and his kingdom and his will on earth? Now, I know we can dedicate ourselves to various activities and causes and people, and they all may be fine. I would just like to ask you this, and maybe you ask yourself, is everything else I'm dedicated to under the lordship of my first dedication to the Lord, to Jesus? If that's the case, then we've got our priorities right. If not, would you consider rearranging and making sure Jesus is the priority? So we desire, delight yourself in the Lord, desire him, and then dedicate yourself to him. Tonight is the first night of Hanukkah. I mean, I'll come over here, maybe the camera can pick it up. This Hanukkah tree, and does anyone know what Hanukkah was called in the Bible? We call it Hanukkah today, but in the Bible, it was called something else. Melinda. In John 10:22, Jesus was in the temple in Jerusalem, and it's called the Feast of Dedication, because Hanukkah basically celebrates and remembers the rededication and cleansing of the temple to true worship and service to God, because it had been desecrated. They actually went in, a man went in and set an altar up to Zeus, an idol of Zeus in the temple. And instead of sacrificing like the lambs that God said, he sacrificed a pig in there. And some of the Jewish people rose up in rebellion to overthrow that Syrian man. And they were able to defeat them and they cleansed the temple. And the tradition is that they didn't have enough oil in the menorah to keep the light burning. It would take 8 more days for them to prepare it. Miraculously, one night of oil lasted 8 nights. That's why it's an 8-night celebration. And that begins tonight. And I thought, what a great time, you know, dedication. Today, we are the temple of God. Our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And together, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And there is a place for not only a one-time dedication, thank God, I believe there is a place for even daily dedication and rededication, or seasons of dedication and rededication to the Lord. And if we do that, if we dedicate ourselves or rededicate ourselves to the Lord and just pure worship and service to Him, want to have a pure heart before Him, I know just like God miraculously supplied that oil, the oil of His Holy Spirit on the inside of us will burn brightly, and the Spirit in us will shine to others through us. Delight yourself in the Lord. Would you please turn to someone and tell them that? Delight yourself in the Lord. All right, let me give you this last one. Desire, dedication, and discipline. Desire, dedication, and discipline. Would you say that with me? Desire, dedication, and discipline. Desire inspires dedication and discipline. If I desire something enough, I'll take the actions to pursue it. So desire inspires dedication and discipline. Discipline is not a bad word. It's very close to the word disciple. Jesus said in Mark 16, 24, to His disciples, if you want to come after Me, you got to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Me. So there is a place of discipline in our lives. There is a place where we exercise discipline, or maybe we could say self-control. That's really the idea of discipline, being self-control. And sometimes we can have a negative connotation like, well, you know, the parents discipline their child and it's not what we think. But to be disciplined is the fruit of God's Spirit of self-control. I believe our lives bear out that if we just live undisciplined lives in every area, we can't experience the fullness of God's blessing and fruit that way. And then if we are disciplined in one area, we say, well, I'm going to really seek to be disciplined in my thought life, for example, then that can have a carryover effect. And it can have a discipline effect, a positive discipline effect, maybe in our schedule. So discipline in one area can filter out and have a positive effect of discipline in other areas of our lives. So there is a place for that, but I believe it's got to be fueled by the desire. Delight yourself in the Lord, desire to be with Him, dedicate yourself to Him, and then there will be a time where we exercise some discipline to keep Him number one in our lives. I believe Jesus is not only our source of discipline, He's our example. If there was anyone who lived a disciplined life, it was Jesus. But I love this about Him. He lived a disciplined life in a way that blessed God and glorified God. It wasn't like a self-denied monk who just was sad all the time and just denied himself and just, it wasn't like that. He knew how to, I mean, he sorrowed over what broke God's heart. But he could rejoice, and he could celebrate, and he could feast. He knew how to fast and feast. He had that discipline, and He's our example. Let's just follow Him. And I was thinking about it even in the context of the holidays. Let me give you this last verse, and I'll close. The Bible says this in 1 Corinthians 9:27, but I discipline my body. Would you please say that with me? But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I preach to others, I myself should become disqualified. I know that some of you might be in busy seasons. Man, people work long hours. You might have little children and just demands going on. I understand that. I want to just ask you this. Please don't say it out loud, okay? Don't you want to be close to the Lord, just between your heart and God's? Because if you do, then plan some time for Him. Just plan time together, and however, maybe some people read the Bible more, others pray more, however that works, but always include worship and prayer and God's word. Just give Him some time, give Him some time. And you say, well, I'm gonna start tomorrow, I'm gonna give the Lord, I'm gonna get 20 minutes, I'm gonna wake up 20 minutes earlier, and that's for the Lord. And then the phone rings, and something comes up, and all this, and you got 5 minutes, and you just say, forget it. Would you please hear me? When those times come up, don't condemn yourself and don't quit. Take those 5 minutes and make the most of them and then try to pick it up tomorrow. Don't you know that that would mean something to the Lord, that just showing your heart was there, that you want to do it. Again, there's a place for discipline. You know, we'll have to deny ourselves at times. But I'm telling you, if you will, it will increase because you'll enjoy it, because you enjoy him. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of the heart. So I'll close with this. We're coming up to the holidays. Got a lot of stuff going on. How about this? Enjoy the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord. Then enjoy the holidays. Enjoy the, if you go to pageants or whatever, enjoy it. Enjoy your family. Enjoy your friends. Don't argue about politics. Just enjoy it. Celebrate the Lord. The Lord has come. Joy to the world. And he's coming again. Enjoy the cooking. Enjoy the eating. Just don't hurt yourself. Enjoy the time together. Make some good memories and delight yourself in the Lord. How about that? That's not just for this season. That's every season. Can we stand together? Yes. Absolutely. Let me just repeat that, okay? Let's join our hearts together right now. And Jeanette needs our prayer, so we're going to pray for her too. But I would like to just ask, we just take a moment right now, again, just between you and your Father, if you know him. If you don't, would you open your heart to receive Jesus as your Lord today? The one who loved you, died for you, and rose again. He is alive, he is Lord, and he is coming back. If you're not ready to meet him, would you surrender? Just give him everything. Give him your life. Tell him you want to believe in him and ask him to help you follow. He will. He'll be with you from here on till you see him face to face. Maybe you have an unsurrendered area in your life. Maybe Jesus hasn't really been Lord of all. Again, he loves you. Would you just, is it really worth it to keep that barrier between you? Would you just let it go? Lay it at the altar, even right now. Let it go and then receive the fullness of God's blessing today.